Good morning. Thank you for your patience today. We started just a few minutes late. My name is Scott Sanchez. I'm the zoning administrator here for our Wednesday, December 6, 2017 variance hearing. Also with Ava Atera-Taylor, who's at the controls, is the executive secretary for the hearing today. A few bits of general information. First, the order presentation. The applicant and or owners will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. At this time, the applicant should also submit their declaration of posting, which I believe has already occurred. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, would be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there's any public comment in opposition, then the project sponsor will be given a three-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public. At the end of the item, may either continue it to a later date, take the matter under advisement for a final decision at a later date, or indicate a decision today. Items on the consent calendar are matters that are considered routine. If someone would like to speak on one of the items on the consent calendar, please step forward. Otherwise, these items will be granted. We do have a number of items on the consent calendar today.
Seven
because
items.
We do have a 11 o'clock stop time here. So there's general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda today. And now the criteria for justifying a variance. Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or owners of the property. That such finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of the decision letter, please sign in the sign-in sheet on the far wall. That's very important because it's the decision letter itself which would be appealable, and the written decision can be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the issuance of the written decision. Other items, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to talk and to discuss the matters, we ask that that be done outside of the hearing room so as to avoid disturbing others. The next variance hearing is scheduled for January 24th, 2018. Audio recordings of these hearings going back to January 2011 are available on our website. We do have a house.
We have one item that is to be continued, Mr. Zia, item number 8.
And so we have the first item on the regular calendar, item number 8 for 33 to 35 Aladdin Terrace. A discretionary review request has been filed on this application. As is typical, we have the discretionary review and the variance hearing. We typically try to have those together. No date has yet been set for the DR hearing, so I will continue this item indefinitely, and we will renotice when we do have a DR and variance hearing scheduled, so that'll be for a joint hearing at a later date with the Planning Commission. Okay. Is there any public comment on the indefinite continuance of 33 to 35 Aladdin Terrace? Seeing none, continue this item indefinitely, and we will renotice for future joint discretionary review and variance hearing. And on the consent.
Next items are consent calendars. We have seven items. Item number one, case number 2017-008919 VAR 461 to 465 Sanchez Street, rear yard variance sought. Item number two, case number 2017-008412 VAR 2230 Turk Street, rear yard and exposure variances sought. Item number three, case number 2017 2017-007695 VAR, 123 Ripley Street, exposure variance sought. Item number four, case number 2017-008431 VAR, 2220 Turk Street, exposure variance sought. Item number five, case number 2017-006059 VAR, 1375 Sacramento Street, exposure variance sought. Item number six, case number 2017-010181 VAR, 35 Belgrave Avenue, side yard variance sought. And last item, case number, item seven, case number 2015-000004 VAR, 1123 Girard Street, rear yard variance sought.
Thank you. So we do have several items on the consent calendar. Is there anyone who is requesting to take any of these seven items off the calendar? And just to repeat briefly, 461, 465 Sanchez Street, 2230 Turk, 123 Ripley, 2220 Turk, 1375 Sacramento, 35 Belgrave, and 1123 Girard. Is there anyone who requests to take any of these items off of the consent calendar? Seeing none, public hearing on these items are closed. Inclined to grant the requested variances, and we can move on to our second item on the regular calendar.
Since item number eight has been continued indefinitely, we're moving to item number nine, case number 2017-001220 VAR, 253 Chattanooga Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor?
Okay.
You have 5 minutes, sir.
Okay, so this is 253 Chattanooga Street. The existing residence does not provide for parking. So at the direction of the planners at the planning information counter, the proposed design provides parking in a new standalone garage in the rear yard, accessed from Mercy Street, mid-block alley. Inserting parking at the front of the residence, accessed from Chattanooga Street, would require the house to be lifted for a garage door and the front facade to be modified by increasing the height of the front stoop. So in lieu of a garage located at the front of the house, the garage is located in the rear yard in order to preserve the existing front facade facing Chattanooga Street. 25% of the rear yard is maintained. So street parking for the neighborhood will be preserved by avoiding a new curb cut at Chattanooga, and the existing front facade will be preserved. So we believe that the proposed garage is consistent with the block pattern along Mercy Street, as most of the lots have structures along Mercy, either resulting from deep structures fronting Chattanooga Street or Dolores Street, or standalone structures, some of which have garages in them and are two or four stories tall. So here are some photos along Mercy.
Thank you. I'm very excited to move into the neighborhood. Our daughter goes to school like two blocks away, so that'd be great. Also the garage is currently a surface parking lot. We've had discussions with neighbors before that led us to believe that that surface parking lot situation is not ideal. There used to be a garage there in the 90s. It was torn down, I think, without a permit. We're trying to restore that. Make a garage again. We're very focused on maintaining the historical nature of the building. We would love to not have to, you know, or not raise the house and mess with the front. It is very nice to have this wonderful old Victorian, and preserve as much as we can. Thank you. I should add, we've been talking about these plans with Some of our neighbors, you know, definitely all the ones that showed up to previous consultations, and also Project Protect Noise Charm, which had very positive feedback on the plan. So we're hoping that, you know, we can, you know, be as neighborly as possible.
Thank you. It was my understanding I think there's still some final details that may be being worked out with our preservation staff, but that's not so much related to the garage as it is to other alterations.
Correct.
And yeah. Kind of the roof line and what may be acceptable.
A setback at the front, yeah.
Okay. Right. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. So we are on item number 9 for 253 Chattanooga Street. Is there anyone with public comment on 253 Chattanooga? Seeing none, close the public hearing. I think generally supportive of the variance request, connoting the existing conditions. This is at the dead end of Mercy here, and there is, as you noted, the pattern of other garages, including the one in the adjacent property. I think we'll render a final decision after the kind of preservation issues have been worked through, so we can have a complete environmental determination on this, but otherwise supportive of the application. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2016-010226 VAR, 39 Mira Loma Drive, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes. Project sponsor for 39 Mira Loma.
Maybe they're having the same problems I did this morning. But,
okay, so we'll skip them for now, and we'll move to item 11. Case number 2017-005888 VAR, 57 Ashbury Terrace, side and rear yard variances sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Hi. I'm actually going to use the projector.
As well, okay.
So our project is at 57 Ashbury Terrace.
Can you speak to the mic so that we can record?
Get the right plan up. It's easy to see this. We are requesting a variance to expand a half bath to provide access to a usable bath on the main level of the home for the owners. This half bath, it goes into the setback. It is a very minor expansion of the envelope. The second item is legalizing an existing writing room that has been a part of the building as long as the owners have known and seems to be a part of the neighborhood block pattern. Additionally, the adjacent neighbor has actually developed their yard around having a mass there. So that's part of it. The reason for the request of this variance is mostly that we want this on the ground level. The owner has mobility issues that she'll speak about. And it's very important for her to be able to access a comfortable bathroom on her ground level of her home, and would be a hardship if that was not the case. We did look at other areas for the bathroom, including underneath the stair, but it would be economically a lot less feasible for the owners. So we think that this is a discrete solution that allows the use of the bath on this level. I'm going to have the owner speak a second about her mobility.
Hi, Lorene Wheeler. As far as my disability, I've had about 12 surgeries in the last 12 years and have replaced my ankles, my knees 3 times, and I've had 4 surgeries on my back, the last being a fusion of a number of discs. We have no other bathroom on the first floor, so it's been very difficult to get up and down the stairs, and I've actually had firemen carry me up there. But once I'm on the second floor, that's where the bedrooms are located and the bathrooms, that's fine if I have assistance. But my husband travels quite a bit he's a trial attorney, and if he's gone, I really don't have access to the kitchen or just the living areas where I could even take a delivery. So that's why I'm requesting the variance. So thank you.
Thank you. And if we could have whoever has their phones on. Oh, no, that's okay. Okay. That's...
Also, we have two letters of neighbor support. Most importantly, the neighbor that is directly adjacent that is the most impacted by this. This was also submitted as a part of our packet. She is showing overwhelming support for this and for the Wheelers and Finn to be able to use their home fairly.
Thank you. Just maybe two questions. So one, it's legalizing the existing reading room, which, if I understand correctly from staff, predates your kind of current ownership of the building, which is from 1983. So it's been there for some time. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Actually, the ownership began in 1988.
Oh, in 88. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So it was before 1988. And the bathroom has not yet been constructed, so we're not legalizing the bathroom. That's something that will happen, the future construction.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So is there any public comment for item number 11 for 57 Ashbury Terrace? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item. Thank you.
Moving
thank
to
you
item number 12, case number 2015-015557 VAR, 2010 to 2012 Filbert Street, lot size and rear yard variances sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic.
Good morning. The proposed project is to add a partial second story and third story onto an existing rear yard garage and office that exists on this lot on Filbert Street, which is a through lot that faces onto Pixley. The proposal is to execute a lot split and create a separate lot on facing Pixley Street. And then build the addition on top of the existing building. The photograph here is of the existing garage with the office above. And in this photo, you can see that there's a pattern along Pixley Street of through lot buildings, either extending the whole lot or having second buildings on the rear lot, or some already having been split with additional units built along Pixley. And you can see the pattern down Pixley Street in the photographs. And this is a rendering of the proposed completed addition. So you can see that the garage doors remain generally as is, although we've agreed to reduce the widths of the openings, and this is the bays that will be added to the building to give it a more contextual architectural design.
Okay, thank you. So the existing building at the front is a two-unit building. The structure at the rear was expanded, and I think even with a variance of some years ago.
Right.
But
exactly.
There is no separate unit in there. It's just accessory space.
Right. Correct.
Okay. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item number 12 for 2010 to 2012 Filbert Street. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing no public comment, would close the public hearing. And the Section 311 neighborhood notification is currently underway. Is that correct?
Correct.
It will expire.
I think it runs for another 10 days.
Okay. So I think generally supportive of development as proposed here. You noted that it is part of the existing pattern. So I do see that as appropriate. We'll wait before issuing a final decision until the end of the Section 311 notification, see if there's any additional comments that come through that process.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving to item number 13, case number 2017-006157 VAR, 21 Cora Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. Sir, you have 5 minutes.
Great, thank you.
Good morning. Just wanted to show some of the adjacent conditions. First, the project, there was a severe fire there last year, so the intent is to remodel and to restore the existing house. So this is a view of the current rear yard with the adjacent building to the south, and this is that was to the east, and this is to the west. This is the adjacent building that's facing Cora Street, and this is the adjacent rear yard adjacent to the side yard. So there's a pattern of a lot of density to the adjacent properties. This adjacent property is built over the entire site. It has no yard. This property extends about 20 feet past our rear yard. And then there's a public library at the rear of our property that encompasses most of that property as well. So there's a pattern of a great deal of density in the immediate adjacent properties. So. So this is the current site plan with the adjacent properties shown, and the current one-story house here. And you can see we're already to our rear yard. This is a one-story portion that's extending into the rear yard. So that's. And. This is our proposed project. So we're not extending further into the rear yard than the existing structure at this point. What we're proposing is to put a roof deck over the existing structure to provide open space, which the current project doesn't have according to the San Francisco Planning Code. And then the shaded area is essentially the where we're extending into the rear yard as far as the second story goes. So the dashed line shows the allowed projection. And then this portion here is over the existing structure. So. So that's essentially the project. We believe that we're being sensitive to the adjacent properties. The property to the east, we're setting back in relation to their light well, and the majority of our addition is away from the properties to the west. So this property and the adjacent property rear yard behind it, the majority of our addition is going to be over on this side of the property. So okay. That's.
Thank you. If you could describe a bit more of the fire that occurred there and kind of the current status of the building, because what you're proposing is major construction to the building, which mm-hmm. may be really substandard given the damage that has been incurred. So if you could describe what sure. happened, and I'm assuming it's not occupied currently?
Correct, yeah. So I was out there with a structural engineer doing a site visit, and we've already done preliminary structural plans for it. So according to that site visit, the majority of the damage was from smoke, and the existing structure is intact. So we're going to be using the majority of the existing structure where we can. So that's the damage that occurred.
Okay. And I know staff has advised you and reviewed the demolition calculations with you. So we just want to be sure that the project does not, through the course of its construction activities, become a demolition, which would then require review by the Planning Commission as a conditional use authorization. So it's better to kind of be sure that you're able to actually build the project as proposed without triggering the demolition requirements. It just could be complicated given the extent of work and kind of the size and the kind of the status of the building. So,
yeah, we are aware of that. We also had a contractor come out and take a look at the property as well and do a preliminary bid on it. Okay. So the intent is to leave the existing framing and structure that's there and then to sister on where we need to additional framing.
Okay.
To build a second story. So.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you want to speak to this?
This is the.
Oh, sure. Would you be like
this? Is the family that's been there for.
Okay. I'll give you 3 minutes.
30 years. So.
Hi. Good morning. Our house we've lived in all our life. It's a house my mom purchased to start our own little family. She's always had a dream to have our family live a more comfortably because it is a very small, petite land and size property with minimal room. So we did wanted to propose where we can make it live more comfortably for my mom and for us to be there to take care of her as well. Seeing that it is my mom's first home, it is our kind of like a family home as well. So we wanted to keep that in the family and hopefully be able to pass it along from generations as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When was the fire?
May 31st.
Fire occurred May 31st. Unfortunately, my dad passed away in the fire. So
I'm very sorry to hear that.
We did kind of want to keep it as a memory of him, too.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item, item number 13 for 21 Cora Street? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance.
Thank you. Moving to the last item number 14, case number 2014-001674 VAR, 1145 Polk Street, rear yard modification variance is sought. Project sponsor for 1145 Polk. Let's go back to also number 8. I'm sorry, number 10. Case number 2016-010226 VAR, 39 Mira Loma Drive, rear yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor here?
I don't think anybody's here yet. Okay. Yeah, that'd be best. So we'll move on to the last item, and then we'll come back for Mira Loma.
Yeah, okay. Then we'll move to 1145 Polk Street. Project sponsor here for 1145 Polk Street?
Well, that's odd.
Okay.
Too.
All right. So let's go back to item number 10.
So are you members of the public waiting for Polk Street?
Turk Boulevard.
Oh, Turk. So we had that on consent.
The consent calendars. Those are already.
We heard granted. That at the beginning. That was, we already called those items as part of the consent calendar. Are you neighbors or project sponsor for Turk?
Because we,
so at the beginning, when I asked for any public comment on Turk, and I said, 2220 and 2230 Turk, no one. That for the consent items, there are items that if there's no one requesting to have. Is the project sponsor for Turk here?
They already left.
So, I mean, you're here, so if you'd like to just, at least give your comments, but I mean, please note that we had asked for public comment, no one had stood up.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
That's okay.
I thought you were just going through the calendar, and then they would present the plans, and we would have a chance.
No, I mean, okay, that's okay, but just if you want to give your comments.
I understand the consent calendar was different from every other calendar.
But actually, just make sure we're. So is there
so
anyone?
Which of the there's two yes. cases
the
for
2220
Turk.
And 2230.
Are you the 2220 or the 2230?
Really both.
Both.
It's one big building, and we live in 2220.
Can you speak to the mic?
I'm sorry. We live in 2220, but our garage is in 2230.
Okay. So just want to confirm then. So we don't have the project sponsor yet for 1145 Polk. And is there any member of the public here for 1145 Polk? So we have no one for 1145 Polk.
Okay. How about for the item number 10?
For Mira Loma, we have one of the residents of the building, but we don't have the project sponsor.
Okay.
And so is everyone else here for? Is everyone else here for Turk? No.
So, our 2220 Turk said not to start before 9:30 on our
Do you have the copy of the notice?
Sorry about that. Maybe we can call them and get them back here or something.
No, they already left around 9:10, 9:15.
All right, so, well, let's.
I'm the project sponsor for 123 Ripley Street.
So the, that was granted on consent.
Also granted. You're in consent item also.
Okay.
So that's been granted and done.
Okay, thank you.
What case
is? We're here for 253 Chattanooga.
So Chattanooga was already heard.
Heard at one time.
First 20 minutes
immediately,
ago.
Yeah, because it's number nine, item number nine.
You know,
so
we have here at 9:31.
We have a copy of the notice. It says
okay.
Not before 9:30.
Okay.
We brought a copy of the notice with us.
So I think we have some noticing errors. So we'll hear your comments on Chattanooga, but I think we had some noticing issues.
I'm 14.
And
okay, so,
so we know
called
that you're here.
If you could just wait, we're moving along, going back to the old numbers. So, but we'll get to number 14 after this.
So let's hear the comments on Turk.
Yes.
And then we'll hear the comments on Chattanooga. And then, is there anyone else?
He's from number 14, which is the last item, 1145.
So we have
Polk
the project
Street.
Sponsor for Polk. We'll take that at the end. It's the last item on the agenda. And sir, what are you here for?
1123 Girard.
You here for Girard?
That's already been granted. Also, it's part of
and
the.
And did your notice say 9:30 as well?
It says be here not before nine.
Nine. Yeah. So we did. We started the hearing at nine, and we heard Girard already, and that item was granted. So.
But you were here, sir. You were sitting here, and when I read that item, because Girard is now item number seven. So that has been granted. It's part of the consent calendar bunch.
What does consent calendar mean?
We're just
people.
So the consent calendar, as I stated at the hearing, there are items that are considered routine and that they would be granted unless if there is public comment, at which point they'd be taken off the consent calendar and a full item would be.
So we'll probably need to come back then. Okay, which is fine.
Yeah, since the notice was in error, I'm happy you have shown up today. I'm aware of the letters that were submitted. I'm happy to take the public comment that you have here since you did show up. And happy,
yeah,
you know, even
happy
though the project sponsor is not here, but you also can come back to a future hearing given that there was a notice issue. But I think for Girard, your notice did correctly say 9 o'clock, right?
But I was here like at, we were here at like 9.
Yeah, I remember you sitting there, but and when we announced the consent items.
But why don't you step forward? And so let's hear for Girard, then we'll hear Chattanooga, then we'll hear
no,
Turk.
She's here for Turk Street.
Girard can go first. Do you want to go first? And I'll come back?
If you're there,
well, I think, I mean, it's just whoever would like to go first. And I think we have fewer people for
what
Girard.
Do you want to go, and then I'll go? Okay, sure.
Okay, let's be clear about this. So you are both of you are for here for item number 7, 1123 Girard Street.
Yes.
Am I right? Okay.
Yes.
All right. I will give you 3 minutes.
So my name is Miguel Hernandez. I'm the property owner of 1116 Girard Street, and they're proposing to build something right in front of my place. And there's issues with parking there already. And this is a three-unit building already on San Bruno side. So they're proposing to build this on the Girard Street side. So I don't know how high it's going to be or whatnot. There's parking issues, and then it's also going to block our view. I talked to my adjacent neighbor, which is 24, and also number 16, 1116, and we're all having the same issues with the parking. This is Lee here, and he owns 1119, which will be adjacent to where they're building. And his English is not really good, but from my understanding, what he wants, he wants a protest is basically because whatever they're going to build, he feels that the foundation might sink on his side. So, and also the parking issue.
Okay. All right, thank you. So, a couple points. So the we did already hear this item and grant the variance, there is still something called the Section 311 notification. That is another notice that you will receive, and you'll have the ability to file a discretionary review. There are plans that are mailed out with that. I would suggest contacting the staff planner who's assigned to the project to request the plans. It sounds like you are not kind of confirmed with the details of the project, so they can put you in touch with the project sponsor. They can maybe meet you at the site, discuss the project in more detail, address some of the concerns. I mean, issues related to construction and impacts potentially on foundation, those are things that can be addressed through the course of construction. We build like that regularly in San Francisco, so there are ways to address that if the foundation needs to be underpinned or what have you, but that's something that occurs later when building permit plans are reviewed by building department. But I would encourage you to contact the planner to request the plans and to talk to the project sponsor about the project, so I think you can probably better understand the project and its potential impacts.
So if this project moves ahead, we will get notices in the mail about, you know,
yes, their hearing. So they, in addition to this variance, which is required and was also previously granted, this project has been around for some time. They had a hearing on this almost 10 years ago, like 8 years ago. A variance was granted for a similar, if not identical, project, and now they didn't pursue it, and now that is expired, and they're coming back to seek the project now. So you will be getting a notice of the building permit that will go to owners and occupants within 150 feet. So if you're the adjacent property owners and occupants, you'll be getting notice of that. That's a 30-day notice. You'll have the ability to request discretionary review at the Planning Commission. But I wouldn't wait till that happens. I would today give a call to the planner and request the plans and contact the project sponsor so you can better understand the project.
So we just go to the building department and do that?
The planning department. So we can give you the, on this case.
You need
case,
to contact Michael Christensen. He is okay.
I took a picture of the notice that's on there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Then his phone number.
It's on there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. His name and phone number is there.
Oh, it's on there?
Yes.
Okay. Can we contact them?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
So let's go to the one on Turk Street. Sure. So there's two items for Turk Street. So one is item number 2230 Turk Street, and also item number 4, 2220 Turk Street.
Right. So okay, I'll give you 3 minutes. Supposed to be at 9 o'clock. Okay. So we're concerned because I understand this is a routine variance, but ultimately the idea is to eliminate all of the garages. There's approximately, with those two buildings, there's around 11 garages, most of which are two-car garages, so that's about 20 cars. I'm sure they're going to want to do the adjacent buildings, so then we're talking about 20 garages and possibly 40 cars. There's already not enough street parking. They've just improved Masonic Boulevard, so they've taken away the parking there. Many neighbors have come to us. They're very concerned because there's already not an, it's going to burden the whole neighborhood. So I had thought Planning Code Section 305C is grant, variances are granted if it is not material detrimental to public welfare. This is going to cause a huge hardship to the community. Also, I pulled the San Francisco Rent Stabilization Ordinance, Chapter 37. So 37.2R, garage facilities, parking facilities, driveways, storage spaces, laundry rooms, decks, etc., supplied in connection with the use or occupancy of a unit may not be severed from the tenancy by the landlord without just cause. So we have a garage, as many of our neighbors do, in our lease. When I reviewed Section 37.9A of just cause, I'm not seeing in the current statute any basis for severing a service provided to us under our lease. The just causes are, I mean, I don't know, you probably know them, right?
Well, so which building do you reside in?
We're in 2220.
2220, okay.
Our garage is in 2230.
And 2230, okay.
Do you want, you know just so, cause, right?
So, yeah, so, yes. You're, so you're resident of 2220, you're resident of 2230.
No, we're both, we're 22, you're 2230?
There are two buildings under the same ownership.
There's actually four buildings, and it's like a big cavernous area with like 20 to 30 garages.
You're resident
down there.
Of the building 2220 and 2230.
It's all connected.
And that's all, yes. Okay.
Yeah, there's like one key and you can go everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, so down there, there's storage spaces, laundry, and then the garages that are part of our lease.
Okay.
So they haven't, the landlord has not come to us with a legal basis for severing our garage.
Did they contact you in any way to inform you of the project and the loss of the parking?
The only thing they did, they said they're going to be retrofitting and temporarily you will not have a garage, which we were fine with because that's legal and that's for safety and that's perfectly acceptable. But they've never contacted us about taking away our garage and our driveway.
Well, so we will have another hearing and we'll have them back to explain.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Whoever would like to go next.
Let's move to item number 14. That would be the last item, 1145
Polk Street. Let's go to Chattanooga first. So we did.
Oh, there's another. Okay.
For Chattanooga, if you could step forward.
All right.
Please.
Hold on. Let me look. That would be item number. Oh wait, it's not. That's not a consent item.
No, it was not.
Okay, that would be item number 9. 253 Chattanooga, right? Okay, please approach the mic. I'll give you 3 minutes.
And sir, what item are you here for?
I have a question. Yes, 123 Ripley, has that been granted?
Yes,
that was granted.
Without us saying anything?
It's a consent item.
It was a consent item. And so do you have the copy of the notice with you? I believe the notice on that did say 9 o'clock start time for the hearing.
I've been here all night.
Yeah, I called it at the very beginning of the hearing, asked if there was any public comment, and nobody stepped forward.
You were waiting for the sponsor to come up, and he wasn't here. I've been here since 9 o'clock.
If you would like to say your comments about the project, too, but we asked if there was any public comment for 123 Ripley. Nobody stepped forward. We were asking for public comment.
I was in the same room you are, and you asked for the sponsor, and he wasn't here.
I did not ask for the sponsor.
For the consent items, we don't ask the sponsor to do a presentation, only on the regular items.
We will hear your comments on the project. We will, after we hear about the comments on Chattanooga.
So we'll start with 253 Chattanooga Street, item number 9. Please, ma'am, approach the mic.
Good morning. I'm Lee Bender. I'm a neighbor of the property at 253 Chattanooga. I'm at 1060 Dolores. And I have on my phone here a message from the planning department from Elizabeth apologizing for not having had time to send us an updated notice about this hearing, which was specified to start at 9 a.m. What's actually posted on the property is the 9:30 start time. And I really hate to think we're going to have to appeal now after all this because planning failed to send us a notice. And we walked in at 9:31. We recognize the importance of being here on time. That said, I want to say that I object on two grounds. There are several, but I'll be as brief as possible. And the first is that what is proposed here is allegedly a one-car garage. And my question there is, why would anybody build a one-car garage when you already have parking for three cars there? Specifically, I'm going to go on record here as making an assessment that the owner has no intention of building a one-car garage. Clearly, what is intended here is another residential unit on the back of this property. Number one, it proposes a one-car garage. Mind you, they already have three-car parking, this big yard, 20 feet off the alley. Number two, there are windows all around. Number three, there's no garage door in the plans. It's a tiny little door. It's a residential unit door. So, and finally, there is a bathroom in this structure. So I don't want to say phony baloney, but hey, this is not a one-car garage that's being proposed here. That's not it. My other objection is that the alley that runs along behind this property and behind my property, I'm across the alley, might as well be in Beirut. We have pictures of it, but it's full of potholes. It's 15 feet wide. It's not even a regulation alley space. You can't get up and down the alley to begin with, and this is the only place where they can bring the trucks for construction is on that alley, and it'll effectively block all the other drivers trying to get out. It presents an absolutely impossible situation. We have pictures of the alley, as I say, but it'll effectively block all of us from egress and access to our properties. And my neighbor here has one or two things to say about it as well. Do you have any questions for me?
Yes. So are you directly across Mercy from the property?
I'm Catty Corner. Oh. I'm Catty Corner. So here's 253, the back, and I am about, what, maybe 10 feet away from that property on the other side of the alley.
Okay.
I won't even be able to get out of my garage. And I have a car that's only 67 inches long. It's a little Hyundai.
So are you to the north or to the south?
I am to the south.
Okay. So the, you get to your property before you get to this property, right?
When you're coming in, you get to my property
first.
About 1 second before you get to their property.
So if they're doing work at the back of their property, how would that block access to your property if it's already
when beyond? When I'm backing out to leave, it will block my access, but there are 17 cars coming from the one at the end. The subject property is right between me and his properties. There are two right there with 17 tenants attempting to come out. They will not be able to get out because they are to the north.
That's the dead end where
that's the dead end.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my problem is minuscule compared to theirs.
And you have a garage at the rear of your property now,
yeah.
Similar to what they're proposing here.
Yes. And mine really is a garage. It's not a residential unit, which is what they're proposing to build.
They're not proposing a residential unit, but that is not what they're actually
proposing.
Yeah,
say it's a garage, but there's no garage door. It has a bathroom.
There is a garage door. And there is
windows all around.
So there's a half bath and a garage door.
11 feet tall.
Yeah. Okay. Thank
you. Is what they're proposing.
And, sir, could I hear your comments on Chattanooga, please?
Thank you.
Yeah. My name is Chris Farino, and I own the property where the Mercy Lane dies or ends. It ends at my property.
Okay.
And also, I'd like to say that I'd like to reiterate that we did not get a notice. We simply did not get a notice about this hearing. I heard about it at the last hearing when it said it's postponed to December 6th. So I to have it approved without a notice about what time the hearing is unacceptable. You can just put that on the record because it's going to be that way. But I want to also state that there is no one that applies for a garage when they have three-car parking and doesn't put a full garage door for two-car parking. This is obviously has the ability for living space. And so I don't know what variances, what the criteria is for variances, but if we're now reducing parking in the city, I don't think that is part of what the San Francisco wants, but maybe I could be corrected, but I don't know the exact code. But this also, my 17 tenants are beyond this property, and they have to, yesterday, for instance, I was going to an appointment, and scavenger service came there. I had a 15-minute delay because they pick up garbage along Mercy Street, just because there are dwelling units that face Mercy Street, and it is so congested back there that I have complaints from my tenants. I have complaints from myself because I park in my rear yard apartment building. So I think this is an ill-advised deal. Why can't they put the garage in front of Chattanooga Street and keep the rear yard? We do have pictures of the whole situation, and I didn't put a whole exhibit together because, you know, we thought we'd have more time. But the density of that alley is like a Manhattan skyscraper in some sense. It's so dense. I mean, those buildings go straight up. There's actually only two lots rear yards that you can see. If you traverse that on the Chattanooga side, there's only two light, and my tenants that look across will have an 11-foot high. I want to ask the question. Doesn't it seem a little suspicious that someone puts 11-foot ceilings in a garage? Certainly, that's her garage, like you were saying, Lee Bender's garage, is 9 feet high. 2 feet high takes the view away from some of my lower tenants about and sky and trees. They have trees in their lot right now, and now their greenery is gone. If you have this structure,
that's the time. So, what is their view? I think the adjacent property to the south, next to Chattanooga, has a garage at the rear too. Does it not?
The adjacent property, yeah. Of going south.
Yeah,
it has a garage, but they have trees beyond there or in the interior yard. I don't think this project allows that, or maybe it will, but it'll be 20 years from now before you could see a tree, or 10 years from now. But I'm just
now they have the unobstructed view of the parking pad,
right,
with the three cars.
Pardon me?
Now they have the unobstructed view of the parking pad with three cars.
Well, there's two. They're parking one car there now.
Okay.
But they have the potential of three. She did put a little retaining wall because for the last 25 years, when those people that owned it prior to them, mm-hmm, the fence was at the okay, Mercy Lane.
Have you had any conversations with the project sponsor about this?
She called, and I called back, but she just had a voicemail. She did call 2 days ago when I had talked to Elizabeth, I think, whoever that is, in your office. But at the same time, I'm just saying that...
And so in regards to that, this was noticed for hearing, if it was not last month, I think, did not receive notice of that hearing?
Yeah, and it says 9:30. This was a hearing and notice I got, and I was here.
And it was continued to today, and you had thought that the hearing was starting at 9:30.
Well, let me put it this way. We were in the hearing, like some of these people here, for a half hour before we could find out that ours had already been postponed. It didn't say out there or right here, sorry, if you're here for Chattanooga, it's being, and new plans, it was said that new plans will be resubmitted. Have they changed their plans?
I think they're still looking at alterations, changes to the front building.
The front building, but that's not under the same permit.
It should be a separate permit, you're right.
Yeah, so we haven't had, as neighbors, I strongly protest to this whole way of doing this.
I understand.
Thing.
And so in terms of the... concerns with the project, are they just related to the garage structure, or are they also related to the structure at the front and changes that they have proposed there?
I haven't looked at those at all, but okay. I would like to know what those are. Okay. Now it's all in conjunction.
So I think what we will do is we'll...
But can I ask you a question? Is a variance granted normally for a dwelling unit in the back?
It happens, yes. I mean,
well... I'm saying, but they didn't put their plans in as a dwelling unit. They called it a garage.
It's not a dwelling unit, no.
People could live there.
Not legally, no.
Why?
Because it's a garage structure. It doesn't have cooking facilities. It doesn't have full bath. It's a half bath with a garage.
They could put that in after.
That would be illegal then as well. So
I'm sorry. I'm a real estate broker in San Francisco, and I'm familiar with what people do. And that lane, for instance, there's a couple of buildings that when they sold them, they have disclosed that the rear building was done without permit. So I'm just telling you, this is stamping these things this is just uncalled for without anyone being able to.
We understand that work gets done without permit, that there are enforcement processes for that. I appreciate your comments and concerns with the notice. We will renotice this for a future hearing date, and we will have the project sponsor here. I would encourage you to reach out to...
So you're going
to
renotice
it? Yes, and I would encourage you to reach out to staff sponsor.
And other neighbors I believe are opposed to this project.
Okay, it would be good to hear all those concerns.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now let's move to item number four. I'm sorry, you're Ripley,
yes,
you said?
Yes,
we're
here about Ripley, yes.
That would be item number three, 123 Ripley Street.
I'm sorry, I was confused. I thought you were just calling the order of things. I did not realize you were...
Okay.
That was my bad. Okay. I've been living in this place since 78. I am, in fact, the definition of not in my backyard, because this project is in my backyard, next door neighbor. We live on a dead-end street in a single-family residence, which is Treat Avenue. Above Treat Avenue is Ripley, where there's been an apartment building there for as long as I bought the building. They are now proposing, without notifying anybody, and I know how it goes. I know you don't have to notify anybody anymore. I am a general contractor. I have, in fact, legalized illegal units. But the situation here is that it's a dead-end street. We're all single-family homes in back here behind this apartment building, and now the owner of the building basically knocked on my door one night and said, oh, and by the way, I'm adding four more units to the building, and I'm going for a variance for two more. Totally out of the blue, had no concept that this was happening. The neighbors are the same way, and we've got 10 or 15 neighbors that are concerned. He's basically going from 5 units to 11 units, and density is amazing. This is a dangerous situation because it is a dead-end street. The fire marshal is very concerned. I've had long conversations with her about this. She's not sure this is going to be approved because it's on a downslope. They're also going to have to excavate underneath the building, moving large amounts of dirt. There's really no end to this. I understand we need more housing. But along with this is the guy down the street from me who has got a permit to turn a garage into a unit, just like the last gentleman, without asking anybody. As a general contractor, I would have to go through hell to notify everybody in the neighborhood that I was going to put a 10-foot deck on the back of a house. And now, out of the blue, the Board of Supervisors and the mayor and everyone else has decided it's okay to create this density situation with no regard for parking or anything else. This is a dead-end street. The garbage people come up. The school down the street is delivering groceries. My God, if there's a fire, they could never get a fire truck up the hill. So the owner, I'll be very honest with you, has been working with us very well and very hard. He's proposed to us that he will, the original plan was for 4 units downstairs and then a variance for 2 more up on Ripley. We told him our concern with having 4 more units coming through a gate in the back of the property coming into a dead-end street. And we suggested to him we'd probably go along if he would change things to 2 units on Ripley Street, I mean on Treat Street, excuse me, and put his other 2 and reduce the variance to having 2 up on Ripley Street, thus creating the density to 4 units instead of 6. And that way, traffic would move better instead of having 6 families coming through the back gate. That's my point.
Thank you. And are you supportive or at least not opposed if they do follow through with that commitment to not?
Most of us are supportive of it. We just got it printed out on Monday. There's things in here we don't understand because we're not lawyers. We wanted to go meet with a lawyer and find out. He's basically saying to us, we'll pay you tomorrow for a hamburger today. And that's our concern, that he go ahead and draw up the plans showing the 2 units on the back and 2 units up above, which he has agreed to do, but we can't say that we're in favor of it until he has the plans from the city. And the other concept is the fire marshal is very concerned.
Okay. Thank you. I will discuss with staff and have staff contact the fire department and the fire marshal and see their concerns and make sure that the life safety issues are paramount. So we will ensure that fire department doesn't have any issues. And you know, we can work with our staff about getting the status of revisions to the other permit.
We're able to work with the gentleman. I mean,
it sounds like it.
But you know,
I understand.
Thank you.
Okay, now we'll start with moving to item number 14. This is case number 2014-001674VAR, 1145 Polk Street. Project sponsor, please approach the mic.
Mr. Sanchez, my name is Alice Buckley, representing the project sponsor. I'd just like to open my statement by informing you I had sent an email to you and the planner that the title sheet on the number of parking space was incorrectly allocated. I also want to mention that the final count of the allocation may well be different than 15 for the retail store, because right now it's based on the whole total area and not the area that discounted the exempted area. Essentially, this is a very simple variance application. It's about the rear yard. It is on the location as well as the square footage. The project will have more than sufficient open space to offset any deficit in the square footage in the rear yard. The reason why the rear yard variance is requested in part is because the department, based on urban design principle, asked the project sponsor to have the building have frontage on all three streets, including the alley. And that's the reason for it. Unless you have any question, we'll submit it on the based on the application.
Thank you, and just noting it as a rear yard modification, not subject to all the findings typical for a variance, subject to different criteria that are outlined in section 134E. And we'll see if there's any public comment on item 14 for 1145 Polk Street. Seeing no public comment, close public hearing, inclined to grant the requested rear yard modification. And we will, Mira Loma was an outstanding item. Is the project sponsor for Mira Loma here? All right, let's do this.
All right, let me read out your, this is item number 10. Item number 10, case number 2016-010226 VAR, 39 Mira Loma Drive, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes.
Bill Pashlinski, architect. I'll be brief. The owner is here as well and give a brief statement. We do feel it meets all the criteria. It's an unusual lot, particularly in one, it's at the corner. It's in Mira Loma Park. It represents a style of architecture done in the 20s and 30s. Predominantly, these houses are one-story over garage. The east face of the block along Mira Loma, and with the exception of the house behind us, which I'll talk about, the entire block going east up, not east, east up Juanita is one story over garage. They're all that Mediterranean style house. We felt we had an alternative, and we did discuss it, of going up. We're looking to get a master bedroom up. We felt the impact on the neighborhood, both for two reasons, both the scale of the neighborhood, it wouldn't meet the Mira Loma Park guidelines in terms of going up when other houses didn't. The fact that, you know, normally in the planning, you can set a house back 15 feet, but in this case, that wouldn't do you any good because you're on a corner lot, that the addition would be highly visible. It'd probably end up just as something boxy. There's a house across the street, pink one. I think the owner might have a picture of it that doesn't look really particular. But it would be very, very visible. I'm dubious that from the historic vantage point of the way the codes read today versus when the codes were implemented, that it would allow this type of addition to occur. It would also impact the neighbor, particularly the neighbor to the to the north of us. In addition, the way the owners, it's an RH1 D lot, the way the owners use the lot is the open space that they use is really in the side yard, the one facing Juanita. That's where they go out from the kitchen. That's where they have barbecues. The space to the back right now has, as I mentioned, the three-story building behind us. It really looms up. It casts a shadow. Right now, it's just a bunch of overgrown grass. The owners never use it. There's no reason why anybody would particularly want to use it as open space as compared to the side. So I do feel that there are particular reasons to the site that are unique in nature to the changes and developing code issues in the city that really represent a far better way to build as a modest addition out the back one story that really impacts and is almost not visible from any perspective. At that point, we would do a better job of landscaping the rear yard. The owner's here. She's lived in the area for a while, so I'll let her speak briefly. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you for your patience, Mr. Sanchez. I'm Andrea, I'm the resident, and as you know, I've lived in Mira Loma Park
We are very committed to San Francisco and staying here the rest of our lives. We have lived at 39 Mira Loma for more than 20 years with only one bathroom, and have saved a long time for this home remodel. I have to be honest, I just can't, after 20 years of negotiating bathroom time with two or more people in our house, we just can't ask anybody to go any faster. You don't want to be around our house when the flu happens, let me just say. With the prospect of my husband's elderly father and our daughter moving back with us after her college graduation, it's time for another toilet and shower. We've spent months looking at other homes in our neighborhood, but things have become so unaffordable that it was clear it was better to spend our savings updating a home we love. We're really merely looking to utilize unused space in our backyard for modest enhancements to our home, and in order for us to remain in San Francisco in reasonable comfort. Our backyard is unused. We access our side yard. The house behind us is over three stories. It's pretty big, so we're hoping that this 6 feet can sort of suffice for adding a second story. Thank you for consideration.
Thank you. And as my understanding, the neighborhood notice went out for the building permit actually twice, right? There was.
They're highly notified.
Yes. And so is there any public comment on this item on 39 Mira Loma Drive? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing, client to grant the requested variance. I think that is all for this agenda. We have a general public comment if there's anyone who would like to speak an item not on the agenda. None. With that, we'll close the public hearing. Entirety will be back in action on January 24th, 2018. Thank you. Goodbye. Happy New Year.